Good morning, Ofer. Welcome back to Spirit Collective's deeper dive on fantastic energy, healing, directing, spirits, collective, good juju stuff.
Love it. Hi, Janiel. So fun being with you, always.
Always. And hopefully we can keep the containership as appropriate for today. So this is our deeper dive section, what we chatted about in our last recording in regard to essentially kind of a quantum physics-y concept of the field of potential. You know, I would love to kind of give the audience just a little bit of lingo, because there are many different, at least so far what I've been introduced to language-wise, there's very many different descriptors, I guess you could say, to define this place or space. So if you guys recall, Ofer was demonstrating a little bit about the heart space, you know, how he, in his gift categories, he likes to portal through the heart as he is attuning to the various energies that are being generated or degenerated in, on behalf of an individual, whether it be emotional, mental, physical, you know, psychological. The subject matter is very broad scoped, and our desire in the Spirit Collective is to facilitate the expansion of this awareness. And so I would like to share with the audience a certain experience that came through recently, because I find it very worthy to demonstrate to people how they can do these things for themselves. So Ofer, what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is I just want to talk about how I accessed a tool, and I want to talk about too how it really came in layers and what it means to step into the state of being in which you're capable of receiving that which you ask for. What do you think? Do you think you can help me try to shape this up into, you know, let's use some of the lingo, into an at one, at, you know, the atonement, like this is the word in writing is atonement, but the way that spirit has it being used is at one mint.
Yeah. I love it. that's great. Atonement and atonement, they are really close to being one and the same. They're definitely so related to one another, because the atonement would move you closer to the oneness, and it's probably not what most people see when they hear, what think about when they hear atonement, but we can talk about it the next at any time. I just love it. It's not the subject of today, but to go back to what you're talking about, to me it feels like, so last time we talked especially experientially, and so if you haven't experienced, feel free to go back to that podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And listen to it, but we talked about how to get into the void, which is an endless and nothingness and the most potent place of creation. Of us as part of the oneness, to create. And so now, I think what Joni and what you want to do is to show us one way of how we take it further.
Right.
And in fact, once you're in the void, you can come up with things that vibrationally could be an awesome help for in any area of our life, but it would be harder to get to them if you don't put yourself first in that state. And so what would you say is the area that you want to talk about today and go deeper on?
Okay, so fantastic. So I want to share with the audience an experience that I personally had come through in layers with, and to let them let people know, you know what? Sometimes you don't understand what you're being given, and that's okay. And so I'm gonna start us off on a journey, you know, and I'm gonna walk people on the wild side for a moment in that. So when we talk about the void space, the potential field, it can include nothing, as you said, and everything, or another way to say it's, you know, something or someone or more. And so the reality is the word atonement, you know, when people first hear that word in regard to what we're talking about with the void, like you were saying, it can be a you know, oh my God, you're going to ask me to forgive somebody, but you know, I'm really still very mad, right? And you're just like, yeah, okay, I get where you're at and I accept where you're at. Whereas at one minute is coming into that shift in your perspective of what's the bigger picture. So when we talk about the void, that another word to describe the oneness field, it's like when you hear the word void, does it also cause you to go, oh my God, that's humongous, right? You're like, how do I navigate humongous? Yet we've demonstrated one of the ways that you personally navigate that humongous space, in that you create a finite, tiny space to get to it through. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure the audience can figure out, you know, this is a very enthusiastic subject for me. Because bottom line, our desire in the Spirit Collective is to facilitate others' self-empowerment. And, you know, this life is very much about, for me anyway, I get that this is my filter, but I witness so often on so many different levels, folks experiencing an obscuration of their own empowerment, you know, and it's like, it's so fascinating to think about all the things that can create quote unquote blocks to your oneness. And so with that being laid out, I wanted to share with you, you know, a long time ago, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, I had a random visitation in spirit from my grandfather on my mother's side, because he has, in his spiritual journey, he has requested to be part of my spirit team. And what that just means, you know, team, spirit team, whatever you want to call all of the beloved folks that really cheer you on as you journey through your life. And so one day,
our guides.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the oneness field, you know, you can, this one of the things you can do is you can put in the request to develop a two-way communication with a guide, whether it's a beloved that has passed over from the human world, or if it's a spirit animal, or if it's a muse. Lately, I've been guided back to open up communication again with a person that walked the earth but is no longer here. Her name is Brigid, B-R-I-G-I-D, and requesting, you know, can you support me as a muse, as an inspiration for writing? And so, which is a form of manifesting, right? Okay. So just, I want to try to make this as brief as I can, because I'd love to hear, you know, your awarenesses and guidances as well. So, so a long time ago, my grandfather appears to me, and for the audience, for, you know, in my mind's eye and in from spirit to spirit. And he just demonstrated to me, he's showing me, here, build these gold orbs or golden balls of light. So he showed me, you know, clap. And many people have seen this anyway, whether or not they know what they're doing, but basically creating a friction between the palms of the hands. So last time when talking to Ofer, we were talking about how he's very gifted in what's called the 11th chakra. You know, where is that located on body? It's the hands and the feet. What's it governing? It's governing creating and directing energies or powers, forces. So Grandpa says, and funnily enough, you guys, his name is Jesus. So Grandpa Jesus says to me, here, you know, build these golden balls of light. And I'm like, and he's just showing me over and over again, demonstrating the orb, and then showing me through the friction, and then through bringing my hands in and out, how to grow the orb of light. Okay, so you're like, what's the point of this, right? I don't know. It just, to me, it's like fun. It's like, okay, thanks, Grandpa. You know, you just showed me basically a very powerful activity. And that was it. That was the whole demonstration. So, you know, information can come into you and you have no idea why it's there. And that's okay. It's all, you know, the thing I want to ask you, Ofer, to explain is the no time time thing of the void. First off, to help people navigate this, what's the no time time thing involved with the field of potential?
So before I go to the no time, I just want to go back to the experience with your grandfather. Mm-hmm. which I just have to talk about it because it feels very profound. Because the timing of it, speaking of no time, the timing of it simply means that it was a way to alert you to something mm-hmm. that you already know. Mm-hmm. It's not new. It's not something that you haven't heard before, but it's something that is laying dormant and not really dormant because you already use it. It's just that there are ways for you to leverage manifestation through the 11th chakra that are so awesome, that mm-hmm. are unique, that are not common, that you probably are not going to find many other people who are using their 11th chakra do. So this is your manifestation of your 11th that is awesome. The other thing is guides, our tribes, they're not only, you know, they can be sometimes divine beings, they can be ascended masters, they can be all kinds of, but they can be also anyone who's important to us because they have something to teach us, to show us, to mm-hmm. to protect us, mm-hmm. to help us with. And so they will never harm you, but they might have something that perhaps their life was about accumulating some knowledge that now they're ready to share. And so, so that's awesome.
Yeah. And oh, isn't that beautiful as a understanding of why you might want to attune or atone with, isn't that funny too, when you think of the word atone? So now we're talking about harmonizing, like with the energetic field of the oneness, the zero point field. I was telling the audience, you know, there's all these different words that we use to describe this place space.
And yeah, so at oneness. I mean, you're amazing with how you tie it all together. You have to have a book someday about this, right?
Just another perspective on that, which has already been written. Absolutely. Because it's like you said, the 11th commanding chakra is unique to each individual, and tie that back into empowerment. It's how you run your energy system, how you cultivate energy and how you release energy and how you contribute and how you receive. And so, to take it to that next level. So, okay, we fast forward to the circumstance where the ball gets put into play. And what I'm going to talk about is basically, I'm going to give you an overview. This technique is applicable if you are experiencing any type of perceived or real block. And, you know, another lingo in energy medicine, right? Block. The old school chakra teachings would include this word like, oh, your chakra is blocked. And then you and I, you know, in our understanding, in the contribution of knowledge and wisdom and the distribution of knowledge and wisdom through the oneness field, the underlying awareness is that the block is and isn't real, right? It's meaning that it can be created or manifested, but it can also be uncreated and unmanifested.
So I actually just, you just remind me that I wanted to say something about your previous question about no time.
Okay. Yes.
And so the concept of no time and time, it's you know, they can coexist because they exist on different levels. Because when you're here on the level of 3D,
yeah,
time is essential. And so time moves you from here to there. Time is how you manifest change with space. And you can use the space to move to different spaces at the same time, or being even in bilocations at the same time. And you can also use the time to be to coexist in different times in the same space or in different spaces. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me that somebody brought up in another forum this question because they're worried that if their soul, if their soul is wounded, which is another way, you know, to say one of their chakras is blocked or has some woundedness to it, and they want to fix it, sort of to go to another timeline and fix that soul fragments, they think they'll be undone in the present because they fixed the past, mm-hmm. which is understandable fear. It'll also hold you back from it being helpful to you. So the perspective that I take on time and no time is that time is only necessary when you do need to move back and forth in our 3D world. When you look at it from higher levels, especially from divine levels, the dimension of time is no longer, it doesn't matter anymore. You can say that everything, you can say that everything is happening at the same time. And when you are going back to a soul wound and you change the wound, you relieve the wound, here in this world, perhaps you did some trickery with time. Over there, because time is not necessary, it just means that you are playing with your eternal reality, and there is really nothing that can harm you because you're not bounded by time. How can you be harmed if your soul is eternal? How can you disappear if you're an eternal being? The soul is eternal.
Ahead. So what's so lovely about this is that, you know, you just introduced a whole ball of entertainment here. Like, to start, so with this idea of time, no time, one of the things that, you know, you revealed there was, okay, so a person says, you know, I have this soul fragment and I want to retrieve it and heal it, and then, but how's that going to affect me in this line? And so what you're really speaking to at that point is the all soul, or, you know, at one moment, meaning you, your spirit, the immortal spirit that you are, has these timeline projections. But the how to answer the question, like, how's that going to affect me in this, it's all about it's all about the spiritual language that you're going to embody in this idea of saying, you know, what's optimal for me? Because here's the deal, Pete's, if you experience some type of wounding, but out of that wound came the development of aspects of you that are optimal for you, then you wouldn't necessarily want to remove the wound, or at least the scar of that wound. So it's like, in that whole languaging of your harmonics, of your essential spirit, right? You're just like, if this is the most optimal outcome of integration versus disintegration. And then using the part where you're like the time, no time is basically a navigation skill. So if you're interested in opening yourself to the full potential of this oneness field, you know, we invite you to comprehend this surrender of this structure of time, because as you were speaking, Ofer, I was giggling because my grandpa's like, yeah, let me show you this golden ball in no time at all. So, yeah, you see, it's like when we permit ourselves to kind of collapse the concept of time, you know, you brought me to this. Maybe it can help people understand when you say 3D. Oh, yeah. Okay. So like, let's go back to basic geometry, geometric form, or the structure that all things are made from. And you go and correct me if I'm wrong, but the first dimension is the point, right? So the little dot that can represent you. Or whatever, you know, whatever noun you put in is you know, person, place, or thing. It's a little dot. It's one dimension. So it's flat. Then you have the second dimension, which is two dots. So now you've already introduced that concept you were talking about shifting place or space, right? It's because the two dots then can be connected by a single line, A to B, if I understand correct. Right. So then third dimension, 3D world, the world that we materialize into being, creating construct or form, the human body is a good example, whether, or, you know, like maybe you built a building, or maybe you wrote a song and, you know, you put it on paper or whatever, you materialized it into this world. So that 3D is now, if it's become a shape, right? Do I have it right on 3D?
Yeah. 3D okay. is the shape that has the volume.
Okay. And then the 4D world, then that is the shape with you outside of the shape, correct?
Yeah, that's definitely one definition for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I see how that ties back into let's go into the oneness field through the
because
heart.
Because you're outside of the shape, it means that you can relate to multiple shapes.
Right.
And so these shapes could move across the vector of time, which you would call change.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, and I know it goes every dimension past that, but let's just keep it to where it's functional for us in our grasp of the material world. Okay. So Grandpa shows me this a while ago. I have no idea what the application is. I just play with it. And that's one of the things that, I believe really empowers us is remembering that we can play, and how whether or not you're a parent, you'll understand this because we've all been taught by teachers, right? We've all gone to school of some kind, but it's a known fact that playing is much more than what it appears to be on its surface, right? It's interaction and development of relationship and social cueing and demonstration of everybody's, you know, superhero powers. And so the idea of play really is, funnily enough, it's the activity of integration. And so anyway,
is I'd argue what creation does most of the time, if not all the time,
right?
And and we as cosmic 3 years old do as well.
Exactly. And so, and then how beautiful is this as an example to show people, you know, this idea of time or no time at all, because every one of us can relate to our 3-year-old self instantly. No, with like literally shifting place or space within ourselves to go, yeah, you know, when I was 3, I loved to climb trees. That was my thing. And I would sit and talk to the tree for hours, you know, and then immediately in the same place in our 50s and 60s, we're like, that is me. That is me still today. And I may not have the ability to climb the tree, but I have the ability to commune with it still. So it just is an example of like how time, how we apply time, and how you can become conscious of the fact that you are a multidimensional being. So the idea of going into the void, a multi-dimension, suddenly becomes simplified. So, so anyway, to fast forward to today, I ended up with an interesting day of application of the golden ball. And what that was I was communicating with a beloved, and they were struggling because they had moved their optimal timeline from potential into possibility and probability. And what that looked like is they put themselves forward on a job application for a job that they wanted, that they had trained for, gone through all of the process, and was at the tail end of the whole transaction in order to become employed. When all of a sudden, a situation appeared that now that had not been considered as one of the potential outcomes. And that was that in a fingerprint I don't know what you call it in the process, in the employment process, but you know, get your fingerprints, your identification. You got to have clear fingerprints in order to be security, whatever level of access to the employment, right? So he gets the news that there was an anomaly on his fingerprints, and everything came crashing down. Everything was wonderful. Everything was going the direction that he had seen to be results of his own efforting. And then everything came crashing down. And what the realization was, two things. One of them was, he said, this could affect my current employment because I needed to be fingerprinted then as well. So if there's something that I don't know on these fingerprints that are an indicator that suggests that I'm not hireable material, I may have just completely wiped out my own security overall. So I'm sitting in the energy of this overwhelm. And then he compiles it with, and it's just my luck. And I know this beloved human being for a long time, and I know what his belief system is on luck. And, you know, he believes that he has Murphy's Law in his favor, which meant that he doesn't have a lot of luck, or if the luck that he has, it's always come at a cost. So it's a kind of more of a curse than actual luck. So I sat there with it and I said to him, oh my gosh, I have no words of comfort. I have no way to comfort you on this because we just didn't realize that potential pathway could occur in this situation. And his response to me was, I'm not looking for comfort. So I'm like, okay, you know, as a helper soul, as a desire to see people in their amazingness, you know, I'm just stumped, right? I'm sitting here going, gosh, I feel very, very helpless. I just have to be sitting this one out, right? Because it is what it is, and there's nothing else that can be done. No thing else, right? So he leaves, you know, I'm sitting in contemplation, and all of a sudden I see myself building this golden ball. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is a great space to be in because it's clean and pure, and it's full of love and the energy of bright light that brings warmth and comfort. And I'm just sitting there in it. And I realize that I'm building it and building it and building it to the point where I'm literally surrounded by this ball. It's not just between my palms anymore. When out of the blue, we'll call it, I hear break the sound barrier. And I'm like, I kind of think I know what that is, but I don't really know what that is. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, I have this big, huge ball of light and light moves. So breaking the sound barrier, I'm like, how fast does light move to do that? And so I don't know. And so I just say, do it. Okay, if that's what we're going to do, then just do it. And so next thing I know, you know, I'm conscious that this ball is spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. So to the point where it's spun so fast that the energy around the ball has formed waves, and these waves are coming together. And it's like when they intersect, next thing you know, I'm being pulled. I don't know how to explain this to you, but like my awareness is being pulled forward. And now keep in mind, my intention as I'm doing this was to offer comfort when comfort is not wanted. So it's like, well, okay, what do I do with this comfort then? But okay, let's just be comfortable, I guess. And so next thing you know, it's like breaking the sound barrier. I'm getting this download that it's a sonic boom. And so this is interesting to me because, you know, we're talking about golden light and yet sound, we're talking about sound. So, you know, like what's the connection between light and sound? So as I came out of this little contemplative state, I was like, well, I got to take care of business. I got to, you know, get myself ready for my day, blah, blah, blah. And my mind starts churning. I go back into the material world existence and I'm thinking, how can I get answers for this? And I'm laughing because, you know, that's what Google's for. And here's the funny thing about Google is it's a representation of the potential field, meaning Google has all of this data and information. It's invisible, right? But it's all been contributed to by bodies of knowledge all around the world and coalesced into a massive invisible place or space. And yet you can't just say, okay, open Google. You actually have to go to Google's search bar and put a specific in, right? So like, what's the specific? You were talking to me before, it's like a frequency or you had mentioned, you know, you can make this a more finite approach in the big field of all by choosing a specific.
Yeah, that's the thing that you can do when you have been floating in the void. So first, you know, that's what we've done last time. When you get into the void, you just feel it as an endless, limitless amount of darkness, empty, you know, space. And it's not even a space because it's a space and not, no space at the same time, but you're kind of floating there, your awareness is, because you bring no perception with you, no physical perception, only your awareness. And then, like you mentioned with Google, if there is an intent that comes from the awareness, you just send a single frequency of the desire or the intent that you have, and that is pretty much, you know, like like doing the Google search, but much better, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, because it's the all, right? And so then in this case, I send out the single intent of, well, what is the sonic boom? Right. And it's like, so essentially I'm like, well, here we are back in the material world. We're out of contemplation and we're transitioning back and forth between the physical and the elemental, which is kind of funny because that's still physical, but yet it's like you said, the nothing space, the no thing space or no one space. You know, I'm curious. I'm just very, very curious. Like, okay, so let's pull up the toolbar and do what's sonic boom. Okay. So I am just floating in this information and I'm replaying it. I'm rehearing it. And I'm hearing him say, I'm not looking for comfort. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the luck block. And because comfort is an aspect of energy that we all embody within ourselves, but we play with allowance of receiving or not receiving. And that's that, you know, where does comfort come from? It comes from the divine feminine, the divine mother energy of creation. So here we are full back on, right? In the middle of like floating in the void. And how delicious is that? It's like, oh, just surrender and like be no thing. If that isn't comforting, I don't know how to describe it, but in that statement, I was realizing, wow, you know, in so many different ways throughout his existence, it's like whatever has blocked his flow because divine feminine is the flow of creational energy. Divine masculine is the form of creational energy. And so I was just in awe, because as I was looking up sonic boom, you know, and breaking sound barrier, I laughed because they use this word Mach to describe speed, which I believe, if I'm correct in what I read, is like 777 miles per hour. And so I don't know about you, but I find that one just tickles me because of, you know, being interested in chakras and energy centers. And it's like 777 is total crown chakra. And not only is it crown chakra, but like, where does the void come into your being? And so then, so I'm over here giggling, right? And as I'm giggling and thinking about this, I'm thinking how my friend has always mocked things. That's like one of the types of humors that he embodies. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I got the spelling wrong. You know, the spelling is, he mocks, he M-O-C-Ks. And yet if he would mock, M-A-C-H, he would remove his own blocks, right? Okay, so why,
you know,
is this?
There was these airline company, French company, that flew airplanes. I think they were called Concorde, which were the only passenger flights that where the airplane actually goes beyond the speed of voice. And it was very helpful for people that used it, because you could fly, I think, in like 4 hours from Paris to New York.
You were transported.
And, right. And for multiple reasons, they folded. But I think one of the biggest reasons is there was too much resistance, because Ooh. the world is not ready to go this fast. And
right.
But things are changing now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just curious if it's time for something like that again, but definitely on the energetic levels that you're talking about.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Because I think the airplane is the perfect way to help people understand breaking sound barrier, the material form, moving through time space, and then creating waves in that time space. And then those creating the boom and the crack. So that's what I was showing, was this is how you crack this block. This is how you get things to flow again. So to tie this up for you, 5 minutes into my shower, because I'm like, got to get going with my material day, right? He pops in and he says, hey, it was all just a psych. I got the job. 5-7 minutes, maybe tops, after just surrendering and saying, wow, let's do this.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
Right.
You know, I was thinking that it also was useful, even when you didn't feel like you were supposed to do anything, and you kind of sat back at the end of the session and it was over. And, you know, he said that for him, it was not about comfort. Something there happened that enabled the second part.
Right.
And perhaps it was just a touch, you know, because sometimes all you need is the witnessing or the presence, the fact that you
own it,
opened that space for him to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in his discomfort. He would call it discomfort, you'd probably call it love, but different names, same thing. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so check this out. So obviously that's not a tangible block, right? But it's definitely a tangible thing. So I just wanted to share it. So later this day, the same day, Ofer, I get a call from my mother, and she's like, can you pray for me? Can you send healing energies for me? Because I'm having a block. I'm like, no kidding, right?
I mean, you had the secret weapon, and then the universe started sending your way
reasons to apply. Yeah.
The lock for your key.
Yes. And so in the state of that one unconditional love, right? I'm like, of course I'm frightened because this is my mommy. And I'm like, is this, you know, I do this all the time, but like these people, you know, when it's your critical loved ones, I don't know, something happens to your sense of ability, your sensibility. So I had to sit and like, let myself, I don't know how to explain it, but there was this block of time, isn't this funny, where I was unsure and I had to give that to divine source. I had to give it, I said, transform this because I don't want to be, I would love to be able to do what I do best and do this for somebody that's so close to me out of just absolute love. And it was so interesting because in my gifts, you know, I get visual, I get auditory, I get knowings where it just becomes part of my senses. And so as I was sitting there, just holding I said to Source, I go, well, can we use this golden orb for this block too? And I'm just sitting there, you know, playing with the light and just awaiting a response when something shifted in my awareness where I started receiving more clarity around what was going on in my mom's body. And so, you know, it was in this case, like, sure, why not? Let's use it. And so I got to witness, observe the application. And I was, you know, her medic team of grace was working with me in our witnessing. And we were like, okay, we got to attend very physical parts of her body, you know, the small intestine. By the way, she got an obstruction. So at the time, there was no knowledge as to whether or not this was a physical obstruction of her own body or if this was obstructive product. So turns out, you know, she had overeaten, of all things, broccoli. Okay. So, which I don't know about you, but it just sends me into a tizzy of laughter because I'm like, gosh, could you imagine that that's what took you out? You know,
too much of a good thing, huh?
Too much of a good thing. Exactly. And so it turned out that that applying the ball of light, what it did was it did massage her peristalsis in the intestine. So she was getting more movement, but that was also what was eroding the form, right? And then like I got to actually see the representation of like when flow started coming through, it came through in this beautiful blue light, like you emerged out of some dark cave into the sky. And it was just like, okay, you know, how are you feeling, mom? And mom says, oh my gosh, I'm starting to go to the bathroom. This is amazing. Like, wow, you can't get more immediate than that. So, so I'm looking at this and I'm like, check this out. You know, this tool is capable of being applied to a block, whatever you perceive the block to be, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. So I'm like, where did the information come from? Right. And why I wanted to chat with you, because you access this place or space in the journey of facilitating energy management for people.
Yeah. And you know what I love so much about what you told me is that you actually started with not knowing what you were going to do, but you just knew that there was something to be done, that you wanted to be helpful for a person in trouble. And so you sent this frequency of, I need your help. And you received the help in form of knowledge. And then you've done it twice, perhaps in two different ways. Once to just understand how it works on your own. And then the more, you know, the ultimate one where you just ask for it to be done by the divine. Mm-hmm. And I have secretly a feeling that you've done it by the divine always, that you always do it by the divine. You know, they say that when you use 3D tools to make change like that, that is superhuman, we call it magical. And when we use the divine, we call it miraculous. And really our day-to-day state of mind could be miraculous if we would just remember it. And so thanks for sharing this. This is an awesome story. And I know we need to wrap up. Do you have anything else to tell us?
So for example, in understanding how you use this tool, you might not call it the golden orb of light, right? I'm just curious, like how when you allow your, it's very strongly about allowance and surrender and detachment, isn't it?
Well, if you're talking about like using the 11th chakra, which is about using the powers, right, and commanding the powers, I would say that to use it in an optimal way, I also leverage the divine and leverage help from God. And so, you know, if God is or the divine or spirit, whatever you're comfortable with calling this universal power, is giving me the authority, the presence, the inspiration to use that commanding power, then it just flows. And so this is how I like to use it, rather than say, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm going to do it on my own. It's more like, let me align with God. Let me see what is in divine. What is the divine need here? What is in divine alignment with what this person needs? And then just do it.
Yeah, which is really the activation of love without conditions, right?
Exactly.
Which, that's like a whole nother topic. It's like what the word, you know, how many different meanings we attach to the word love when we're working through this type of energy management.
That's definitely a cool topic to talk about.
Let's do that next time. And thank you for allowing me to actually give this experience to others and like to be able to talk about like what that really was.
And thank you, Johnny-Anne, for bringing in your awesomeness. I loved it. I loved the conversation.
And may we inspire others to just play, right?
Yeah. And thanks. Thank you all for listening.
And expanding the light.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Till we meet again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.